जया राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जननंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जननंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी जया राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन जानरंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस प्रव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद्भक्तिवेदांगेश एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रीपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this morning we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, verse number 41, sorry. Is that right? Yeah. Vacham juhava manasi Tat prana itare chatam मृत्वा पानं सोत्सर्गं तं पञ्चत्वेह जोहवि वाचं जुहाव मनसि Tat prana itare chatam. Mrityavapanam sotsargam. Tam panchatve hyajo havit. Please chant. Apanam satsargam tam panchatve yajo havi vacham juhava manasi tat prana itare chatam mrityavapanam sotsargam tam panchatve yajo havit
vacham juhava manasi
vacham juhava manasi tat prana itare chatam mrityavapanam sotsargam tam panchatve yajo havit. Thank you. Word to word. Vacham, speeches. Juhava, relinquished. Manasi, into the mind. Tatprane, mind into breathing. Itarecha, other senses also. Tam, into that. Mityau, into that. I mean, everybody can say along with me. Apanam, breathing. Sat utsargam, with all dedication. Tam, that. Panchatve, into the body made of five elements. He, certainly, ajohavit, amalgamated it. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Then he amalgamated all the sense organs into the mind, then the mind into life, life into breathing, his total existence into the embodiment of the five elements, and his body into death. Then, as pure self, he became free from the material conception of life. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthir, like his brother Arjun, began to concentrate and gradually became free from all material bondage. First, he consecrated all the actions of the senses and amalgamated them into the mind, or in other words, he turned his mind towards the transcendental service of the Lord. He prayed that since all material activities are performed by the mind in terms of actions and reactions of the material senses, and since he was going back to Godhead, the mind would wind up its material activities and be turned towards the transcendental service to the Lord. There was no longer a need for material activities. Actually, the activities of the mind cannot be stopped, for they are the reflection of the eternal soul. But the quality of the activities can be changed from matter to transcendental service of the Lord. The material color of the mind is changed when one washes it from contaminations of life breathing and thereby frees it from the contamination of repeated birth and death and situates it in pure spiritual life. All is manifested by the temporary embodiment of the material body, which is a production of the mind at the time of death. And if the mind is purified by practice of transcendental loving service to the Lord and is constantly engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there's no more chance of the mind's producing another material body after death. It will be freed from absorption in material contamination. The pure soul will be able to return home back to Godhead. Thank you. Vanchakal Patavida Chakra Sindhu Chakra Pitanam Pava. So this morning at 3:30, I got a text message, and it was from Guru Gauranga Prabhu, you know, our one of our 6-7 residents, lawyer here. And that was one of those texts that he sends to a lot of people, I'm assuming. And it was, he was talking about his meditation. He says every year in between July and September, he has his meditation where he kind of accompanies Srila Prabhupada in his journey from India to America. And so he sends these texts where, okay, he started today here, and then he started, you know. So that is his meditation. And today I'm going to be talking about meditation or mind or whatever. So it's funny about that thinking this morning. And when I read this verse, I was thinking, I was feeling like I'm reading this verse, and Srila Prabhupada has translated from Sanskrit to English, and I'm reading it in English, and I still don't understand what this verse is saying. Then he amalgamated all the sense organs into the mind. What does that mean? Then the mind into life, life into breathing, his total existence into the embodiment of five elements. Anyway, I was thinking, wow, Srila Prabhupada, you have translated and still we don't understand. But I just want to thank Srila Prabhupada for giving the purpose. And in the purpose, he just says it in such a simple way, because he knows that we won't be able to understand what this verse is saying. So he simply says, in other words, he says, somewhere here. In other words, he turned his mind towards the transcendental service of the Lord. The simple language. He knows we can understand that. So he says what all this means. In other words, very simple. He turned his mind towards the transcendental service of the Lord. So now it's simple. We can understand what Srila Prabhupada, what the verse is saying, and what Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing here. But what he did, which you know, amalgamated everything into the mind and da 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 da, is that's not simple. That although stated very simple, that is not simple. Even Arjun feels that, what is it? Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. Parmati balavad dhridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayur iva sudhuskaram. So he uses three things for the mind. We're talking about the mind here. Yudhishthira Maharaj turned his mind towards the service of the Lord. So he describes parmati, balavad, and dhridam. Parmati means the mind is agitated, balavad is strong, and dhridam is obstinate. Anybody had experience of the mind being obstinate? Okay, so the mind, so this is something that it's not easy. He says that it's harder than controlling the wind. We can't control the wind, but it's harder. It's, you know, that's what Arjuna is saying. It's, you know, don't expect me to control my mind. This is really hard to do it. It's harder than controlling the wind. When I was doing this research on this thing, I bumped into something I thought was really, I liked it. It's a young person writing, a songwriter, and he wrote something about that, and I wanted to share with you. I don't live in California, I will inform you. That's not where I reside. I'm just a tenant paying rent inside this body, and I got two windows, and those windows, well, I can call them my eyes. I am just going where the wind blows. I don't get to decide. Sometimes I think too much. Yeah, I get so caught up. I'm always stuck in my head. I wish I could escape. I tried to yesterday. Took all the sheets off my bed, Then I tied up my linen with 5 strips of ribbon I found, scaled the side of the building. I ran to the hills till they found me, and they put me back in my cell, all by myself, alone with my thoughts again. Guess my mind is a prison, and I'm never gonna get out. I thought that kind of really tells our conditional state. This young person writing that, realizing that how the mind is a prison, he's trapped in there. And so, but for us practicing devotees, Krishna says, and he responds to Arjuna, and he says, yes, it is difficult. He says, when Arjuna told Krishna that, no, this is too difficult, so he said, he agreed with him, asamshayam mahabaho. Yes, that is true. Mano durnigraham chalam. The mind is very active. It's obstinate. It's agitating. It's whatever. So that's what the mind is. I agree with you. However, he says, what are the two things that he says that we can do? Why? Detachment and? Yes, Vairagyena and what else? Abhyasena. That's with abhyas, with practice. So he says these things, it can be done. One can become detached. So there is a systematic method that how we can actually control our mind. We see here in this chapter, before this verse, prior to this verse, we saw what Yudhishthira Maharaj did. He first of all, in verse 38, we see that he enthroned his grandson. This is part of his systematic way of getting detached and engaging the mind completely into the service of the Lord. He enthroned his grandson. That means he had some responsibility and he turned it over. Just like we have Pran Govinda Prabhu here. He had a business and he turned it over to his son. This is the first thing. I have some activities that I'm doing to take care of myself and the family, etc. So now it's time for me to become detached. And so let me turn my activity over. So that was his first initial step of detachment. Then it described the next verse. He placed himself in the fire for quitting household life. So the next step, further detachment. Here he's getting closer, in other words, to the household life. So first it was his job activity, so to speak, that he turned it over. Then his household activities, his household life, he placed himself in that fire of quitting a household life. So you can see the fire. He's like, okay, it's time to move on. And then in the next verse, it describes in verse 40, which is previous to this verse, it says he relinquished all his garments, became completely disinterested. Now, first the job, household life, now his personal belongings that he is identified he identify himself with his way he's dressed, because that's a Kshatriya. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmanas, they all dressed differently. So when you look at a person, you could see, okay, this is a Kshatriya. He is the royal king, here comes. And so he gave that up. So one thing more closer to him, and he relinquished that. The thought came to my mind, I heard that just maybe a couple of months ago, somebody was saying that how when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was leaving his body, he came to the stage where he was saying, you know, I'm not this sannyasi anymore. He mentally had given that idea, the thought that thinking himself as a sannyasi or a guru, or he gave that up. It's time to give up. I'm not identifying with this body in that way also. And then here, he describes, like Prabhupada says, that, you know, he, in other words, he became totally absorbed in the service of the Lord. So there was nothing left for him. He gave up all his activities. One at a time, he systematically became detached. And Prabhupada says here that activities of the mind cannot be stopped, but they can be purified. So it's not like he could give up his mental activities. Prabhupada, I think right here, the quality, the mind cannot be stopped, for they are the reflection of the eternal soul. Thinking, willing, feeling, all that is the soul. Actually, the soul does that. The mind is just a mouthpiece, so to speak. It's a mouthpiece. It reflects that. And so the mind was here, totally absorbed. I thought about, in this situation, I thought about Bharat Maharaj. And I thought, let's examine Bharat Maharaj's life. Because he also, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, he gave up everything. But before we come to the point where he gave up everything, Shukadev Goswami is describing, I don't know if it's directly Shukadev Goswami is talking here or not, or is somebody telling da da da. Does anybody remember? Yeah, Bharat Maharaj. Huh? No, not this canto. The fifth canto, with Bharat Maharaj's story. Okay, Sukadev Goswami. Okay. I thought it was Sukadev Goswami was narrating after that and then somebody else. But anyway, so Maharaj Bharat, it describes that Maharaj Bharat was very affectionate to his citizens, just as his father and grandfather they had been. So please just, here we're going to try to examine Bharat Maharaj and his personality and what he went through to help us. Maybe we can relate, at least I felt that maybe we can relate a little bit like with Bharat Maharaj, just a teeny weeny bit. You know, he's on that high level. But still maybe we can relate. So Maharaj Bharat was very affectionate. This is what we hear. And then even during that time, his devotional service to Vasudev increased day after day. So he was very devotional. Eventually we hear that he retired from family life. And what did he do, just like Yudhishthira Maharaj? He divided the wealth he had received from his forefathers amongst his sons. So he took a step towards that. And then he left his paternal home and left all the opulences and he went to Haridwar. There in Haridwar, he collected, you know, different flowers, twigs, tulsi leaves, etc., water from the Gandaki River, and all kinds of roots and fruits, and etc. And these he would offer to the Supreme Lord. And he remained very satisfied doing that. It describes that his love for Vasudev, for Krishna, increased more and more and melted his heart. Now listen to what it describes here. Please listen carefully. At that time, his heart, which was like a lake, was filled with water of ecstatic love. Now, this is the key point. When his mind was immersed in that lake, he even forgot the regulative service to the Lord. So his mind was so absorbed in serving Krishna that he forgot the regulative principle service to the Lord. Have you ever been in that situation where your mind is so absorbed? I think so. I think we all have had. Not on the level of Bharat Maharaj. I mean, when a boy and a girl, they fall in love, what happens? Their mind is totally absorbed. They can't think. You hear all these songs. I can't sleep at night, I can't do this, I can't do whatever, like that. So that absorption is possible. And I think as devotees, I can kind of say for myself that when I came to Krishna consciousness, I just fell in love. I fell in love with the philosophy. I fell in love with the devotees. You know, again, it's not on the level of what we're talking about Bharat Maharaj, but on our own level, we all have experienced that our mind is absorbed. I know my mind was really absorbed, and the fact is that because I wasn't allowed to join, so I was more, it's harder, and then you're more absorbed because you're, it's in separation. So you're not allowed to do something, so all the more you're thinking more about how you want to be with them. And I kind of remember that we used to live in, me and my brothers used to live in a third floor apartment. This was kind of in downtown area in Dublin. There was a hotel right next to us. And you see all these people walking into to the hotel, coming in and out and whatever. So I would look from my window, third floor, looking down, and I would just like stare at people, and all the men, I would think them like they were shaved heads, and all the women with saris. I mean, that's crazy, silly. But that was my way of being absorbed, because I couldn't do any service. I couldn't be with the devotees. So somehow my mind was always absorbed in somehow their hearing, thinking, or when I was allowed to finally got out of being locked down in my house, when I was allowed to go back to school, then it was just like, okay, I have to tell everybody about Krishna. So that's all I did, go to school, and I would just tell my friends about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. I think we all have experienced that, how we were immersed. I'm sure Divyanga Prabhu, you're probably still now same way immersed, you know, in distributing books and talking to people and whatever. So our mind, we can see that have experienced that, how our mind has been absorbed sometimes in Krishna consciousness in our own way. But we also know now, with Bharat, going back to Bharat Maharaj, and again, the point I want to make here, I want to bring out here, is that we know the story of Bharat Maharaj, how he fell down, so to speak. But I want to bring out the point that who Bharat Maharaj was first, before he fell down, and now was the same. He's the same person. So we heard that Bharat Maharaj was affectionate to the citizens, yes? So now, Bharat Maharaj is in the forest meditating, and he sees the deer, bereft of his mother, floating down the river. He felt great compassion. Is that not the same Bharat Maharaj? Can we blame him for feeling great compassion for the deer? Of course not. That is the right thing to do, for him to feel compassionate towards the deer. It doesn't mean that because we become devotees, because we are fully absorbed, we don't have that compassion. So we see he's the same person. Just like he was affectionate to the citizens, he's now being affectionate to the little deer. Same thing. Then, earlier we read that his mind was immersed in that lake. He even forgot the regulative principles, regulative service to the Lord. Now we see, same thing happened. We see in the next chapter, it describes that being attached to raising the deer, Maharaj Bharat forgot the rules and regulations for the advancement of spiritual life. So we can see that previously, because he was immersed in that lake of ecstatic love, he forgot the regulative service to the Lord. We hear that. And now, he again forgot the regulative service to the Lord. So he's the same person. What is the difference? He's the same person. He forgot the regulative principle to the Lord before, but his mind was immersed in ecstatic love of Krishna. And here, after he fell down, he again forgot the regulative principles for advancing in spiritual life, because he was immersed in affection for the deer. So we see the only difference is where is the mind absorbed. And so I was thinking ourselves that yes, all of us were absorbed in our own way in serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. And we gave up our family life. We gave up our studies. I know I did that. And I think a lot of people did that. I gave up my engineering school. I left home and I joined the temple. I gave everything. Bharat Maharaj did that. He gave up everything to serve Krishna. Again, emphasizing it's on a different level, but yes, we did the same thing. But then, did we also, like Bharat Maharaj, have another family? Did we also become attached, like he became attached to the deer? Have we also somewhat become attached to our little dears, our little family, husband, wife, children, the house, everything? It describes that Bharat Maharaj, when he was leaving his body, he was lamenting so much, thinking, oh, here's my son, the deer, I'm leaving my son alone. He was feeling sad. So the question that comes to my mind, and the question I bring to all of you listeners here and there, have we also somewhat forgotten that taste of being totally absorbed in our Krishna consciousness? I think over the years we have certainly matured, and hopefully matured in our Krishna consciousness. But the question is, and I just ask myself, have I given up one family and taken up another family to become absorbed? In one sense, yes, and one sense, no. In one sense, yes, we can say, in one sense, we can say, no, this is a spiritual family, and these are devotees who are helping us in our Krishna consciousness, and which is all true. But the question is, again, the question is, and that is something, a question that we all have to ask honestly ourselves, where is my mind? Is my mind, if my mind is absorbed in serving Krishna, in pushing Srila Prabhupada's movement, in maintaining Srila Prabhupada's movement, in serving the Vaishnavas, if our mind is absorbed that way, then guess what? We are in the same situation as Yudhishthira Maharaj here describing, where he amalgamated all the sense organs into the mind, and then the mind into life, and life into breathing. We are fortunate. We are fortunate that we are in that situation, even while we are taking care of our family, even while we're doing all that. Then yes, then that is the perfection. But if our answer is, well, maybe, maybe not. Yes, half of the time I am, half of the time I'm not. Or maybe I'm 25%, I'm absorbed in Krishna. 75%, I'm not. And that is something for each one of us to individually ask ourselves, where is our mind absorbed? Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in Bharat Maharaj's pastime. He says that as far as the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna consciousness movement. Yet, they must take a lesson from the life of Bharat Maharaj to be very cautious and to see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. So the story of Bharat Maharaj is pretty amazing. And the thing is that it does not happen all of a sudden. It describes that in one text number, maybe it's 30, no. Anyway, it describes that gradually Maharaj Bharat became very affectionate towards the deer, gradually. Gradually he forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the amazing part is that for Maharaj Bharat, that when he did receive the body of a deer, he remembered everything, and it describes that by constant repentance, he became completely detached from all material things. So this is a way that we can become detached from all material things in case we're very much attached to our dear and near ones in a material way. Affection is naturally there. That is affection to family, friends, things that are around. That's a natural thing. I'm not talking about it. Those who know me, I'm not talking that, oh, we give that up. That's a natural thing. A human being naturally does that. But this is a question that we all need to ask ourselves. And so if we find ourselves saying that, yes, well, yeah, you're right, Madhumati, maybe I'm more absorbed, or, well, maybe I'm not that absorbed in material things, but I could do better. So Prabhupada is saying, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that by constant repentance, he became completely detached from all material things. So that is something that we can do. And Srila Prabhupada is talking about how we can, how we should not waste a single moment. But then also Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 8, where he's telling Arjun how to remember him, and he says, you know, Mam Anusmara Yudhishthira. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, the Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. Again, we have to think, what are our prescribed duties at this stage of our lives? Well, maybe my prescribed duty right now is to get married and have kids. Or maybe my prescribed duty is, now that I have a wife and a kid, I need to make sure I support them. Or maybe now I've done with my family life and maybe it's time for me to give other duties up and be more absorbed in hearing and chanting and preaching. So Prabhupada is saying, the Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. He says one can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. So it comes down to that, as far as I'm concerned, and this is from what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that ultimately we can do all that by chanting Hare Krishna. So in this verse, what I would like everybody to take with them is that we examine ourselves, where we're at, and try to progress in our spiritual life in engaging our mind. Body, mind, and words. There are three things, yeah? We engage. Body, mind, and words. And as we get older, our body probably may not be able to do much. Maybe our words, it might be just our mind and words. And maybe at a certain stage, maybe it's not even our words. Maybe then it's just the mind. And so Prabhupada, one of my favorite part where Prabhupada introduction of nectar devotion, I really like what he really like sums it up about mental activities. He says, thinking, feeling, and willing are all activities of the mind. And when we will do something, the activity comes to manifest by gross bodily senses. He says, thus in our mental activities, we should always try to think of Krishna and try to plan how to please him, following in the footsteps of the great acharyas. By his mind, a Krishna conscious person always thinks of the activities of the Lord. So we chant Hare Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada is saying, how do we engage our mind? He clearly says it. We think of the activities of the Lord as he's speaking on the battlefield of Kurukshetra or engaging his various pastimes in Vrindavan with his devotees. In this way, one can always think of the activities and pastimes of the Lord. This is the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Jai Shri Madhagatam. Any questions or comments or realizations anybody has on this subject matter? No, it doesn't describe that any of it. It doesn't.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah, he died. But it doesn't describe that what happened. Did he get a heart stroke or a stroke or a heart attack or whatever? But it does describe that he was in a state of like all he could think was about his deer. And that's a sad situation. Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. There's a whole description of Bharat Maharaj. Please.
Let's hear. I can't remember. I might have read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was. The deer went over a cliff, and he fell out over the cliff also. That's what it describes in Bhagavatam.
Yeah. And like, you, actually, I didn't go through because of the time, but I read that story, you know, for this, and I was just shocked that how he was so absorbed. And again, it's not something that I want to have, well, you know, Mataji, we have to, you know, care for our family. I'm not talking about that. Yes, we have to take care of our family. Yes, we have to do everything. But where is our mind absorbed? We do our activities, but our mind should be focused on Krishna. Our mind should be focused in the service of the Vaishnavas. Yes, we're serving our Vaishnav family by taking care of them, by doing everything. Yes, we have to do that. And yes, we have to take care of them. But we have to see, is it as a Vaishnav that I'm absorbed in my family? Is it because they're Vaishnavs? Or is it because of my affection, of bodily affection? I mean, that's why Kunti Devi, she even prays, you know, that cut my affection. Atha Vishvesha Vishvatma Vishamurti Swakish Sneha Pashamimam Chindi. Sneha Pashamimam. Cut it. Twayi me ananya vishaya. I just want my mind to be absorbed in you. Twayi me ananya vishaya matir madhupate sakri ratimudhata dat gange valam. I love that verse because it has madhupate, but that was my name, Madhu. And then it also says Mati Madhu, Madhu Mati, Madhu Madhu Mati. So it's all my devotee name, my non-devotee name, you know. But that's what it is. So Kunti Devi, she's totally absorbed. I mean, she has got great Pandavas, great devotees, but still she's asking to cut that affection. She's not asking to cut that affection because they're devotees, no. But any kind of material affection is there. Any other question?
You can read the bottom one and then you can go back here.
This is from Madhava Puri. Okay, this is from Madhava Puri. Okay. Your description of Maharaj Bharat, being so absorbed in ecstasy, he forgot the regulative principles, paints a bit of scary picture. If the goal is raga bhakti, where the regulative principles fall away and one becomes absorbed in love of Krishna, and yet somehow he was vulnerable and became attached to the deer, it seems that would act as a deterrent. In other words, a sadhana bhakta rigidly following the regulative principles would be afraid of ever giving these principles up because he would be left vulnerable. So I'm assuming this is a comment. And then? Which is better, to have the body of a deer for 5 years and always remember Krishna, or to be a human and not know what to think? I think you know the answer, Stidi Muni Prabhu. Yeah. I'm glad he didn't mention dog, but because there was no mention of dog, it's the deer. Yeah, that's why deers are vegetarians, dogs are not. Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.